531. Foundation North has recently granted $98,100 to the Tongan Health Society to support its well-being work with young Pacific people in Auckland. The Tongan Health Society offers a youth navigator-led program designed to prevent suicide and suicidal thoughts in high-risk Pacific youth in South Auckland. We're joined now by Dr. Glenn Doherty, a CEO and Clinical Director at the Tongan Health Society, for more. Maloilele, and thank you so much for your time this afternoon, Glenn.
Maloilele, Brian.
Firstly, Glenn, can you give us an overview of the Tongan Health Society, its services and history?
Brian, the Society's been around for about 24 years. It was founded by Leopino Fuliaki back in the day, I guess. But basically, our focus is on education, health services, and social services. Those are the three elements that make up our core business. We run three medical centres through the region, Kelston, Pemue and Onehunga. We run a ECE school in Manurewa, a community centre and garden in Onehunga. And we also run a integrated outcomes unit, which is a specialised unit looking after sort of health and wellbeing initiatives that had a focus on social services. We run eight school clinics in South Auckland as well through primary schools. We run whānau ora programs, a mobile clinic, outreach services. We've run CBAC centres for the COVID rollouts, and we also run mental health services, Pacific navigation services for our elderly, and elderly day programs, just to sort of give a high-level overview of our services, Brian. We are governed by a board of seven Pacific Tongan governors, board of governors, and we employ around 65 staff through those services. That's pretty much what we're doing, and we're about to open a medical centre and pharmacy in the Kingdom of Tonga when the borders are finally open again. But those are the key things that we're involved with, Brian.
Amazing array of services covering health and well-being for our community, especially in the Tongan community there, Glenn. Now, with regards to the Youth Navigator-led program, can you give us an overview of that?
Yeah, well, anecdotally through my personal experience as a GP in the community over many years now, and in the sector around 35 years, I've come across a lot of issues around suicide, particularly amongst our Pacific community here and in Tonga, actually. And sort of, I've been trying for some time to get funding through different government agencies to assist our, particularly our young people, with issues around self-harm, suicide attempts, and suicide itself. And we finally found an NGO that had, a common vision in helping communities and youth at risk particularly, and Foundation North came to the party around that. But the elements of the program are around essentially, Brian, understanding youth themselves through doing wellbeing assessments, putting together a curriculum that allows sort of classroom sessions and outdoor pursuits using validated curriculums, and engaging with our youth largely through the relationships that we have with our Healthy Village Action Zone churches. We have contracts with 14 Tongan churches in the region. So the program will be co-designed. So we're in that co-design phase. We're not all about telling people what they need to do. So we'll be working with those churches and their youth groups to co-design an approach that draws on evidence-based curriculum, as well as things that are unique to the youth that we're engaging and their churches, their families and their community. So it involves undertaking a wellbeing assessment, which is looking at, you know, cultural identity, health, housing, income, safety and security, social connections, you know what people think about their subjective wellbeing, doing that kind of assessment, identifying risks and suicidal risks and what people have as existing protective factors, and putting in place those outdoor pursuits and the classroom curriculums. And then the final part will be doing an evaluation. So that will be an individual one as well as a service one, Brian.
Glenn, when will you be looking at, after the initial planning phases and that, in terms of rollout, what's the time frame you're looking at?
Well, we're hoping to engage with our churches shortly. So I'm hoping by the end of this month, we'll have a service up and running. So the funding is for a short period of time. It's until January next year. So it's a one-off fixed-term fund that we have access to do this piece of work. Yep. End of May is what we're looking at anyway, Brian.
Other than churches, any other organisations going to be partnering with yourselves in terms of rolling out the new initiative?
Not at this stage. The partnerships are one with the funder, Foundation North, and the partnerships are with the Healthy Village Action Zone churches. So those are the key partnerships that will, one, get funding from, and two, allow the co-design process and the services to be rolled out amongst.
Glenn, if we're going back to anecdotal, you know, it's a question that I ask time and time again to many of our you know, professionals and organisations in this field. What do you think are the contributing factors if we're looking at the alarmingly high stats of suicide amongst our Pasifika community?
Well, I guess there's never one reason for anything, Brian. The reasons are, and the risks are multifactorial, I guess. You know, a lot of Pacific people are alienated from mainstream society, New Zealand society, and some of them are alienated from mainstream Pacific society. So those are people who are disconnected. Those people are at higher risk, particularly for drug and alcohol use that may lead to suicidal ideation, self-harm and suicide itself. And also getting involved with risk-taking behaviour, so they become known to the police and the justice system. And with all of that comes low levels of self-esteem, self-identity. So alienation is a big issue. They're not connected to family, friends, community, church life, as I said, risk-taking behaviour. Low levels of family connections, and also family monitoring, absent parents, families working, you know, two jobs, no one to supervise kids at home, youth, young people. I guess other things that have come is just sort of low mood due to life dissatisfaction. Those are other things that people come across in the risk factor sort of range. People who are part of economically deprived homes, you know, financial stress, relationship difficulties. That's a key one I've had a lot to do with, particularly young male youth who have broken up with in new relationships and have found it difficult to have protective factors to deal with that. So, you know, unfortunately, they take their lives. I've come across quite a few of those cases over my career. Poor academic performance. And, of course, there's always previous suicide by a family member or a friend. So people who are experiencing loss or grief are at higher risk of suicidal attempts. People who are part of very religious families and that Christian affiliation and find it hard to assimilate to what the expectations of the family are with their own views. Those are other gaps and risk factors. So, you know, there's not sort of one. It depends on the family, the individual, where that individual is in the community or otherwise, as I've mentioned, alienation. So there's many reasons for why people end up in that sort of space, Brian.
Mm-hmm. Glenn, in terms of the overarching vision for the new initiative, the you know the end goal, and you know, in terms of numbers, what are you looking at once the initiative has been you know fully launched and rolled out?
Well, look, as I mentioned, it's limited funding for a fixed period of time, so there's only so much you can do, and you want meaningful engagement, so you don't want huge numbers. But we have set ourselves a goal with our partner, Foundation North, to basically engage with 50 youth across those churches, and they may be one-on-one and group sessions as well. So that's the target over that period of time.
Mm. But as we well know, as Pastor Fika, of course, it may be 50, but for each of those 50, they're all part of the family or ainga.
Absolutely. So, you know, the family will be welcomed, and anybody else in those congregations who are interested as well are more than welcome. But we will be focusing, you know, on that target group, yeah.
Glenn, thank you so much for your time today. Really appreciate it. Where can our listeners, online viewers, go to find out more information and once you know details of the new initiative have been launched, please?
Well, they can go to our website, www.tonganhealth.com, or they can ring our main numbers at the Society. And there's an 0800 number, which is 0800 030 902. And in the first instance, they can ask for Mally Vucker, who is the clinical services manager who will be overseeing the service with me. We are also interested in anybody. We're hoping to employ a health promoter. So if any Tongan-speaking people are out there who have had some experience in this space, we'd love to hear from you. That ad will be up in the next day or so on the SEEK website. So it's a 20-hour-a-week part-time job over the periods pretty much from now till January 22.
CEO and Clinical Director at the Tongan Health Society, Dr. Glenn Doherty, thank you so much for your time this afternoon. Dr. Glenn, really appreciate it. Mālo apito o whātu mano.
Mālo apito, Brian. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Bye.